Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ba-da-da-ba-da.
Halala Show Season 4, Mix Number
5.
Hey,
right?
Yes, correct.
Yes. It's always a game. It's a fucking game every single week. It's a mystery. It's like, why don't we just talk about it? Why don't I put it down on the paper? You know what I mean?
Nah. We like to live dangerously, you know, on the podcast.
I know. Live life on the edge, my friend. But hello, welcome to the podcast. This is Rika and JC. And this is the time where we talk about random stuff.
Random stuff. Yeah, the Halala Show, where we talk all the randomness, but we do have a little bit of a structure to it. We start by talking about our lives in a segment called Where You Been? And we discuss all the intricacies of our weekly happenings in Bristol, for Rika, in the UK. I don't know what's going on over there. So I always like to know what happens in Bristol weekly.
It's popping, man.
I'm sure. And then we have the TTs for today, the trending topics. What are we talking about today, friend?
Okay, so we're going to talk about the drop that was made in the drag world, which is Drag Den Philippines. Mm-hmm. So they did a teaser, I think just today or yesterday. I'm not sure about the time difference anymore. Okay, just like,
dude,
get off
the
my
time
back.
Difference is so hard. I always have to ask Rika when we record.
I know.
It's always day. And time? Do you want to record? And then when she says the time, I'm like, is that my time? Your time? And I always forget that I'm ahead of you. But I always think that you're...
Seven. Yeah, oh, wait, eight?
Eight seven hours ahead? But I keep thinking that you're a day behind, which is not... 8 hours isn't that far, actually.
Yeah, it's not far. It. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about. And then we're also going to talk about hashtag RIP Jimmy Fallon. Who's not dead, by the way.
He's not dead.
Okay. Very alive. But that was the hashtag. And then we're also going to talk about
a basketball player named Isaac Humphries. You might not know him. He's not very famous. He's not like LeBron James, Stephen Curry famous. He plays in Australia in a professional basketball league, but he actually just did something really brave and really inspirational, I would say. And online, he actually came out publicly as gay, which makes him now the only openly gay player in a top men's basketball league in the entire world.
Oh, wow.
And he posted a video on Twitter, which was it was like 2 or 3 minutes long, where he did it in front of his teammates. We'll talk about it later, but I think it's a nice story to uplift and just share right here on the podcast. And we have some random Reddit today.
Yes, we found some random Reddit that was just posted on Reddit 6 hours ago. And the question is, I'm going to tell you guys right now so that you guys can just like think about it. Mm-hmm. What's the reason you stop being someone's friend? And we found very interesting answers. And I feel like we also have answers for this.
Yeah, they're very relatable to some of the top answers.
Yeah, yeah. You know? There are some that are just like,
petty.
Really long.
Oh, okay.
It's like the stories are very specific, but there are a lot of answers that are like, yeah, I kind of have the same reason why I'm not someone's friend anymore. But anyway, that's what we're going to talk about in the podcast today. And I believe last week I started. So you go first.
Yeah. And by the way, you can jump to the timestamps if you want to skip through any of those. But yeah, let's start with my week. I had some live hostings, Rika G. Live hostings are back.
Oh, I missed. Live hostings
are back. What about hostings of Bristol?
I don't know. Maybe.
Welcome, what's Bristol.
They're probably like expecting somebody with a British accent, probably.
No, but that's what makes it even cooler.
I know. You know.
It's like, oh my God, who is this girl? I've never seen her before in the hosting. The Bristol, I'm sure there's a Bristol hosting circuit.
Maybe.
You need to get in there, man. But I had some hostings. I hosted a debut this past weekend at Edza Shang. Nice, really nice setup, man. It was like a space-themed one. They're instead of the 18 roses, they called it the cosmos.
Okay.
Yeah, wala lang, puso lang.
But that's like a normal, like.
Yeah, I know. It was it was nice, like the design of everything, the lighting they used.
Yeah.
So shout out to LaBelle. LaBelle is the name of the events company that handled all of that. So LaBelle, and they had this great light show. Like it was these dancers and they were spinning these lights. It was like a really, it looked like you were at EDC or something. You know, those festivals like that they have for, I forgot what kind of music that is, but the tugs
house
music. Is it house or EDM? What's the difference?
EDM.
I think it's the same. Is it?
Maybe there's like a slight difference.
Want to put money down on that?
Not on. Also, don't come for me if it's like totally different. And you're like, it's not the same.
Hey, you know what's big? You know what was big in the UK, where I think that's where it originated.
Yeah,
garage. They call it garage music.
Have you heard of that?
I don't know. It originated from the UK, apparently. Garage.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but I do know a lot of people here who like house music, dance, EDM. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And in like in the UK in general, you know, like lasers and neon colors on your body and like that. Like taking drugs and shit.
So that was the nice.
We don't condone that.
There's no drugs in the Naboo, by the way. But
No.
I get it. But yeah, it was a cool light show. And the family was really nice and everything. And I have another Dibu hosting this weekend. So it seems like things are kind of rolling back down that way, you know, mask off. And I also had another event prior to the Dibu this past Friday. I drove to Pampanga. We had an event for NLEX, by the way. NLEX and Nickelodeon, of all collaborations. NLEX had a collaboration with Nickelodeon, and it was like an outreach to kids on road safety. They had a road safety boot camp and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tied in with this Nickelodeon show called Paw Patrol. I don't know if you are familiar with Nickelodeon shows now.
I know Paw Patrol for some reason.
The quality, like they were playing clips of the show. It's a 3D animation show. Like the quality is so good. I don't know how many episodes they churn out, but I can only imagine, like, because back in the day, they didn't really have weekly 3D animated shows.
Before. Yeah.
It was always hand drawn, like Hey Arnold or Dexter's Lab, right? Or Powerpuff Girls, all 2D. I don't know if it's more difficult to do that, like 3D versus 2D. I'm not a digital artist, but I would assume it takes more resources to do 3D, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wala lang. I was just so impressed that. The Paw Patrol show. I was actually I was watching the clips. I was like, dude, I kind of want to see what happens. They kind of show, you know.
Can you imagine,
dude? It's actually a pretty fun show. It's these dogs that have superpowers and they help the people in the town. And the one episode, they showed like a teaser episode of a bridge falling, and the dogs were like saving people on the bridge. And then they cut it. Like they're like, watch it on Nickelodeon. Like, what happens? Bridge, bro. I want to know.
Did they save the people?
And the Paw Patrol, they have so many like different doggies. One can fly. One has power, like strength. One can grow like Ant-Man, and one can shrink. It's so cute. Anyway, shout out to NLEX and to
it's kind of like CSI Miami, but. With
no,
dogs.
It's like, what it's like is,
Avengers. Yeah, because it's like crime fighting. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, this is a Horatio. Have you ever watched CSI Miami?
I have not, but that's not it's where my mind went to. You know,
sorry.
Thinking of
Horatio.
Horatio. But yeah, so those are the live events that that kind of took place. Ano pa ba? Oh, last night we watched this movie in the theaters called The Menu. Very strange film.
Wait, I think I've seen
the trailer,
on TikTok. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a strange movie. It stars Anna Taylor-Joy, who you might know from The Queen's Gambit. Nicholas Holt, who if you ever watched The British Skins or if you watched Dead Warm
Oh my
Bodies.
Gosh, that was my life. Yeah. That was my life in college, The British Skins. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, Nicholas Holt. And The main guy in the film is Ralph Fiennes, a.k.a. Lord Voldemort from the Harry Potter movies, right? So the story, I'm not going to spoil it, but basically these guests attend this restaurant in the middle. Like, it's a, like on an island. And Ralph Fiennes, who plays the head chef, there's just something weird that happens during the dinner service. That's all I can really say. And I actually don't recommend that you watch the trailer, because I think the trailer, as usual, shows too much. Like, trailers nowadays, I feel like, show too much. But even after watching the trailer, you're still going to wonder what's going on. So if you want to see the trailer just to see, should I watch this, then go ahead. But if you can go into it blind, I think you would appreciate it more. It was pretty good. I would say it's pretty good. I feel like the execution could have been a little bit better. But overall, I enjoyed the film. It's a dark comedy. I think that's what it is. It's not horror. There's like some thriller elements to it, but I would call it a dark comedy. And it was entertaining. So The Menu, that was last night. Did I watch another movie? I talked about Wakanda Forever, right? Yeah, last week I did. Wakanda Forever. Yeah, man. Other than that, I've just been on my grind. Tomorrow I'm going to the hospital to get some checkups on all my worldly problems.
All your bones. All your joints.
My joints. I have to check out my gout. I have to see if I have to like really get on some medication for real. You know, there's something, I feel like there's something in my ear. Like, have you ever had pressure in your ear? I don't know if you ever felt that.
I don't know.
I feel like there's a little pressure in my ear and it hasn't gone away. So I have to get that checked out. I think it's a,
do you get vertigo?
I don't get vertigo. So,
but I do know it's like something with the ears, right?
I think
you kind of
so
have
balance,
to get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of have to get that checked too.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go tomorrow and figure all that
out. Wow. Weekend plans.
Yeah,
woo!
Man. Got medicine.
Yay. Shot.
Dude, I really think it's when you hit 30, man. I think that's when all the, you know, life is, it's like a reality check, I guess. I feel like at 30, I don't know if anyone who's turned 30 can attest, but I think when you turn 30, your body's like, hey, man, stop it.
Stop whatever you're doing right now.
Stop your shit. Get your act together. Because it is just oh my goodness, man, it's not fun, dude. It is not fun, all the stuff that has been like hurting my body. It's not fun. And then people always, you know, talk about it, like older people always talk about it, and then I never believed them until recently. So take care of yourselves. My mom, I met up with my mom. Just a little quick shout out to my mom. We ate at No-No's. I love No-No's.
Lagi mo siyang ginugulo.
Bakit?
Give her a break.
No, because she had to fly to Japan. So it was my last night to see her, because I don't think she's coming back for the holidays. So it was kind of our last time together this year. So we ate at No-No's. I got to recommend again, the cream cheese wonton thingies. So good.
Cheat.
And then the day after that, I met up with Mart, our friend Mart.
I saw.
Lao Taipei, baby. I'm sort of
the pork chops. Did you get the pork chops?
No, we got the chicken chop.
You should check. Yeah. Okay. No, I think I meant the chicken chop.
Yeah. Chicken chop. And then their Lao Taipei fried rice was fucking bomb.
Yeah, dude.
Their beef satay noodles, solid. And then we got the Xiaolong Bao, which was also actually pretty flavorful.
And it's pretty like, it's bang for buck. Like, there's a bunch. They serve a bunch.
Both
right?
of us, it cost us 1,000 pesos total. And we were so full. Like, we could have probably taken stuff home, but we didn't.
Like, you are missing out if you haven't had Lao Taipei. Go check it out. Yeah. It's like in Capitolio and you can see it right away. It's like in the main street.
Yes.
Right as you enter Capitolio. And then behind that, you can have coffee.
At 1C. Hell yeah.
At 1C.
Dude, you know what they say, right? Taiwanese food and coffee. The ultimate pairing. Right?
Yeah, it's the best. I miss Lao Taipei.
Taipei would highly recommend it. But other than that, it's been a pretty chill week. So just kind of keeping busy. Oh, well, my last thing, I guess, is Warzone 2 came out. the new Warzone game that, you know, the first Warzone game.
Ruining people's schedules.
I know.
All over the world.
Because it dropped at 2 a.m. earlier today. So I stayed up last night after watching the menu in the theaters. I just kind of stayed up and then waited for my cousins to play. They all hopped on and we played for until maybe 7 or 8 in the morning. And it was fun. But I will say, and I was telling Rika before we recorded today, it doesn't hit the same as the first one. And a lot of people are saying that maybe it's the mechanics of the game, which is true. Like there's a lot that's changed from the original, but there was a certain appeal to playing the first one because it was the pandemic and everyone was kind of work from home or staying at home. And you would just sink hours into it, forgetting about the pandemic at the time. But now that things are, you know, rolling again, maybe that's also a reason why it's not as appealing. And I think there's a truth to that. So I don't know if any gamers out there can kind of feel the same, but playing games during the pandemic was such a big help for me. It was like such a, what do you call this? It was a, not only was it something to keep me distracted, but it really was something that kept my mental health in check.
I would say. But I feel like there are a lot of things like that with different people. There are a lot of things that started during the pandemic that I feel like if you do it now, it won't hit as hard. You know what I mean? Like it won't have the same effect as you. You know, sushi bake doesn't really taste the same.
Dude, no, just kidding. I get it. You know, ube pandesal is
yeah, it just, doesn't really taste the same. Yeah,
man. You need to have a little bit of fear of death to eat.
Yeah.
And make it like, that way.
It's you know what? I feel like that's it. You kind of appreciate these little things more with that looming threat of, you know, like having a virus in your body. So like even the very simple ube pandesal, you're like, damn, this is so amazing. And people kind of like compare different ube pandesals from different, you know, places.
Yeah.
Remember the cake tin, the cake in a tin.
That was kind of popping before Payung, ano?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like the Le Sucre Lab. Le Sucre Lab?
Yeah.
Which is good.
Oh, so that was even before. I thought it was like during the pandemic.
But you know what? I bet you there's like some conspiracy theory, right? Like when you get the vaccine, it changes your taste buds. For I'm just kidding. That'd be crazy, right? Imagine all the spreading
lies.
Oh yeah, man. You know, ube pandesal tasted better before my Pfizer, and then it just didn't hit the same. You know?
Dude, everything tasted better when I got my what's the name of my vaccine?
Oh, the Sputnik.
Bro? Sputnik.
You can speak Russian after taking that.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Anyway, that's my week, man. I nothing really. There's just eventful events. All right. But other than that, nothing big or life changing as of now.
All right.
Finn, how about you, friend?
Okay, so let me just what do you call this? Kind of like add on to that thought of yours that, you know, sometimes trailers show too much.
Oh yeah,
because I feel like I already get the movie of Bones and All before even watching the whole movie, and I find it so interesting. You know that movie with Timothée Chalamet, Bones and All. Yeah, Bones and All, and she's with Taylor Russell. There we go. Yeah. So anyway, it's like a movie coming out. I don't know when it's coming out, but I really want to watch it. But after watching all of the trailers and all the special features and all the special trailers and whatever, I feel like I already watched the movie.
Dude, okay, so I've never heard of this movie, but the top, like the Wikipedia page, let me just read the top, okay? It's a 2020, I haven't seen any trailers by it. It's a 2022 coming of age romantic cannibal roadville.
It is. dude, let me tell you right now, it's not a spoiler because it's in the trailer, but there's a time there, you know how coming of age movies have like sleepovers in them. This one had a sleepover with four girls, and then they were just painting their nails, you know, like admiring their beautiful shiny nails, and then one of the girls kind of just like reached reached onto the one of her friend's fingers and then just bit it off.
Oh.
Like bigla na lang yung pinasok sa bibig niya, tapos parang kinain niya talaga. And like you kind of see how hard she was biting into the finger, not the nail, the finger.
I heard
and
it that was you like, can bite through a finger, like you can bite through your own thumb, like easily. You just can't do it because you're afraid to do it.
Yeah, but because I hear it's yeah, easy. Because it's you.
I hear
yeah,
it's
so it's.
I don't know.
From who?
I don't
friends?
Know. I'm just saying.
You guys, it's just like, you know, conversations over coffee.
I'm not the one that wants to watch the Cannibal Road film.
I know. But that's the thing. It's like a coming of age movie. It has all the elements of a coming of age movie, but they're both cannibals.
And they go across a so, trip in America. It
yeah.
Here, they embark on a road trip. Cannibalistic lovers embark on a road trip across America.
But okay, let's just suspend reality over here, okay? What are the likelihoods of you finding another cannibal while you're running away from your family? It's like, it's, and especially in that setting where I feel like they're in the States or something, it's a vast land. It's like, what are the odds
yeah,
that you run into another,
it is diba,
na parang serendipity,
right.
But eating human meat.
Dude.
Damn.
Like, how do you even, I'm trying to think, you know, like thinking out loud. How do you approach that if you're
what
not sure? No, I'm just saying, right? Let's say
oh,
you're a cannibal,
if you're not
right?
sure.
If you're a cannibal and you meet someone, you're like, this guy, I get cannibalistic vibes from him. But you don't want to ask straight up, right?
I feel like this is the best way to find out.
Yeah,
when like, you're about, wait, when you're about to bite them, they're also about to bite you,
oh.
And then you guys do it.
Oh shit, dude!
And then you guys both stop, and you're like, "What?"
You know, chikinini, you know, it's not a hickey anymore. It's like flesh.
I feel like that's flesh. The best way. That's the best way to find out that somebody's a cannibal when you're about to bite them, and they're also about to bite you. So you both stop, and then you're like, "Let's become lovers."
I know, not to make light of it or anything, but there must be some sort of underground cannibal.
Oh, for sure.
Network.
I feel, you know, the internet, you know, the dark net is full of weird shit. And I feel like there are a lot of people who kind of like fantasize it, but never really act
yeah,
on it. You know what
name?
I mean? Like,
what's his name? That he got canceled for it. Armie Hammer.
Oh, yeah. Armie Hammer.
Armie
exactly.
Hammer. Although he did have some sexual like, assault shit. That was more of the serious thing. But a lot of people bashed him for that as well.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, that's one of the reasons why there are like undercover cops or whatever on the dark net, just to see that, you know, who are these people talking about cannibalism? And like, if I guess that's also like one of the reasons why they're being surveyed
sounds wrong because then it's like you're giving them a pen and paper
surveillance.
Yeah.
That's why they're, you know, they're being watched. There we go.
Surveilled.
It's because it's kind of like, you don't want, like, you can't really arrest them for anything until they do something, but you also don't want them to do anything, right?
Yeah, actually,
it's so weird. Hold
up in court, you think? Like, if they say, hey, I want to eat this person.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just saying, like, room, you could defend yourself saying it's a sexual thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But mm-hmm. B, it's not like you're saying, I want to kill this person. You're saying, mm-hmm. I want to eat this person, not necessarily kill them. Maybe you just want to nibble on their fingers, right? Like some finger food, literally.
Literally,
right?
No, but that's the thing. Because I feel like if you have like prior activities that could lead up to you murdering somebody and eating them, I feel like at that level or at that point, you can already act on it. Like it can hold up in court. Like the one with Armie Hammer with having, you know, sexual assault. Stuff before, and then having those fantasies as well.
Is it illegal to?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know. About, no. Wait. Let me explain. I'm just trying to think. If you are a cannibal, right? Like,
okay,
is it illegal to be a cannibal? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not illegal to be vegetarian. It's not illegal to be, because cannibals eat real food too, right? Like, they can't just survive on humans. That's impossible.
Also, here's another question of mine. If you eat one time.
Yeah. Does it make you edible for life?
Yeah, for life. But I feel like it is.
Nah.
I feel like you are.
I don't think so.
Well, that's, yeah, it kind of makes sense. No. Yeah, that makes sense. Because if you eat meat before and you decided to be a vegetarian or a vegan,
yeah,
it just means that, yeah, dude.
And you wouldn't be curious, Rika G? Real talk, man.
No.
Like just a little bit of skin chicharron.
No.
Like, literally.
Ever.
It's small. I feel like. Come on.
I would want to.
Come on.
No. I'm curious to the point. No, I swear. I would never. I am very much like specific with things that I put in my body.
Okay.
And I would prefer it not to be another body.
Honestly, I would feel curious just to be like, I wonder what it tastes like. I would be so curious.
Okay.
I would be curious. I get it. I would be curious. And no, if there were no legal repercussions, I think I would just give it a shot.
Well, I feel like a lot of people would do that too if there were no legal repercussions.
And yeah.
I feel like it doesn't really. I don't think it.
Like if it was taken legally, like if it was sourced properly, right? Like
that
if
is where we are different, my right? friend.
If someone volunteered just to like for an experiment to donate some of their skin, like a skin graft, but for chicharron, you wouldn't be like, huh.
You and I are very different, my friend.
I'm just thinking, it's just, dude, you're not curious?
I'm really not.
I'm not really, I'm not even into cannibals. I'm just thinking, that would be so, you know?
It would be the most exotic thing that you've ever
For real?
You know what? I feel like my curiosity would just take me up to the point where I interview a cannibal or something. Like, I really want to know what's in their head, right. You know, like what it really tastes like. But I would never really ingest it.
Yeah, but you'll never understand.
But here's the thing. I feel like it's really a society thing because I do know that there are some like tribes out there or a group of people that really
probably.
It's accepted.
Did you watch that movie, by the way, before we move on from here?
That was a really long conversation about cannibalism.
Was it Fresh? Have you ever seen that movie? Yeah, the movie Fresh with the Winter Soldier guy, Sebastian Stan. It's a thriller slash, well, it's more of a thriller than horror, but it's a thriller slash horror of this girl. She meets this guy who's like really like good looking and perfect and whatever. And it turns out, he is a cannibal and he sells he kidnaps people and sells their meat to like highest bidders.
Jeez.
It's a pretty solid movie. Like it was pretty entertaining.
All right, let me watch one cannibal movie per month that I can shake it off first before watching another one. But yeah. Bones and All. It has Timothy Chalamet. I like Timothy Chalamet. I think he's really like he's perfect for the movies. Like he really picks good movies to be in. I didn't really watch Dune because
Dune. I was so bored, dude.
I felt like it was a little slow. So I never really put myself in that position to not like a movie. So I just kind of like pushed it aside. Mm-hmm. But in other like movies, I think he's spot on with picking his movies and like how he wants to look like in the movie world, I guess. But anyway, okay. So Bones and All, I'm going to try to watch that. But I do recommend you guys, you know, try watching the trailers.
What a tangent. What a tangent.
I know. Really interesting. But this week was a rough one. I kind of because I stayed in London for quite a while, maybe like a week, less than a week, I guess. But I did forget one of my meds for my blood sugar, for my diabetes. Mm. And I know we just had that. Did
tres leches. Yeah, we talked about
it. Yeah. I know we just had that tres leches with the endocrinologist. Am I correct?
Yes. Dr. Eric Mendoza.
Dr. Eric Mendoza, thank you very much for that. And, you know, we did mention how it's important to just like manage your blood sugar and like keep your meds in, you know, like in place and stuff like that. But I forgot one of my meds, my long acting insulin at home. So for 1 week, I did not have that. And it had such a big effect on me. As in, I felt so groggy. And I do know it's because of my high blood sugar and I can't control it without that medicine. And I felt so groggy. I felt sleepy and tired all the time. I couldn't walk. It kind of reminded me of that feeling when I was undiagnosed before.
Yeah.
Not knowing that I had diabetes, but at least this time I do know the reason why I'm sleepy all the time and like groggy, like my mood was off and everything. Like my eyesight was, you know, blurry and I had a headache, a tummy ache. Everything was just affected by it. And I feel like the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I do know that diabetes is kind of like common, I guess, when it comes to, you know, people. A lot of people know other people who have diabetes. And I remember people telling me sometimes that, oh, that's easy to manage. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. It doesn't matter. You know, as long as you have from it. It's like, what I want to say is, it's not that easy, I think. It's like, I want to tell people that, yes, it is something that you can live with, but I feel like it's not something that you can kind of
wing it. You can't wing it.
And what's that word? I'm looking for a word. It's like you can't downsize it because the effects, its magnitude, like the magnitude of the effect of high blood sugar is just too much for one's body. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you don't experience it, you will never really know how it affects people. So doesn't matter if it's high blood sugar or low blood sugar, it has a big effect on one's body. And I feel like to kind of like downplay, there we go, that's the word, downplay it. It's just, I don't think that's right. You know, it's something that people go through every single day. And I want people to know that, you know, it's a serious thing, but at the same time, you know, I mean, it can be managed. Better to just say, "Nay, wala lang yan," or something like that. You know, that's easy. I don't think that's just right.
Yeah. Hey, obviously, they haven't been in your shoes. Right?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, it's just that I was kind of reminded this week how serious it is to have that in your body. So, you know, drink your meds, drink water. If you can, get your blood sugar and everything checked, like JC.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
This weekend.
And then speak with your family and your, because like we talked about it on Tres Leches with Dr. Eric, right? Mm-hmm. It's a team thing, man. It's a team effort.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong team effort to combat it and I guess keep it at bay and then manage diabetes.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was a really rough week to the point where I was feeling a little feverish as well. I felt like it really set me back with my work that I'm supposed to do for school. I do have like 3 papers to write.
Damn, and papers. That's one of the reasons I don't want to go back to school.
No, that's one of the only reasons.
Papers.
I'm interested with the papers that I'm about to write. Okay. So the first one is about freedom of expression. And we already talked about that. And I do have some sort of idea what I want to write about. Mm-hmm. And then the others are really just about my experience. You know what I mean? Like my experience with making the documentary and stuff like that. So there are a lot of things that I was supposed to do this week, but it kind of set me back. But I'm now in the mindset of kind of like taking back my life. You know what I mean? Hell like taking control.
Taking control of my life.
Reclaim it. Oh, but you know what? I was watching a vlog earlier today, which kind of helped me with managing my time even better. And I feel like I want to try to do this is to kind of like section your day in quarters. So that you don't feel like, let's say in the first quarter of the day, you had a workout and then the second quarter of the day, you kind of felt lazy. And then you just took a nap so that your brain will recognize that it's just the second quarter of the day that you had a nap and your day isn't ruined. You can still do something in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Instead of like, once you take a nap, you feel like, oh, my day is ruined and I'm going to be unproductive the whole day because I took that nap and I was lazy that time. Mm-hmm. Like you can convince your brain that, no, it was just for the second quarter. And now that it's the third quarter of the day, I can do something else. So I felt like that was really helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's what I want to do after getting sick the whole week. But it was really fun, actually. Friday, I was feeling good. So we went out. We went to like this bar in Bristol? I want to say, no, in London. Staines. That's the place. That's the name of the place. But I forgot the actual name of the bar, but it was really nice. It was like, it's like a bar that you see in the movies where you kind of sit alone and then the bartender kind of like wipes the table.
The floor,
and
or the
like,
table. Yeah, I get
the
it.
The table and like, yeah.
Does he slide so the glass of beer at you?
I know. And you know what? I'm really surprised that they serve San Miguel here, like everywhere. It's just everywhere.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if it's like the San Miguel that we have in the Philippines, but I feel like it
is. Sure it
is. Yeah.
Sure it is.
But I feel like I found the beer that I like here. It's called Neck Oil. I don't know if I told you about that because we went drinking also the week before. But the beer is called Neck Oil and it's really light. It's like, it's really nice to drink. It's smooth and it's kind of sweet. But the name is a little bit off-putting, but it's called Neck Oil. So hey, I suggest you guys try. Huh? I know. What else? Watched a bunch of stuff on Netflix. You know, just my normal stuff like Mindhunter, Young Sheldon. I've been watching a lot of it's REM Life vlogs on YouTube. I feel like it's a type of vlog that's, I don't know. It's just very specific with people. I don't know if people are going to like it in general, but yeah. What else? Now I'm back here in Bristol and I'm ready to go, really.
Nice.
And that's it. Finn.
All right, Finn. All right. Shall we wapow to the first TT?
Wapow. That was really long. Where have you been?
Not really. Actually, I think our where you've been last week was much longer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think we're making good time. Let's start with Drag Den Philippines.
Oh, yeah. Okay. NGS. So Drag Den. Yeah, so Drag Den Philippines is another drag competition, and they did finally unveil their official teaser video, which is like, it's on Amazon Prime, I believe?
Yeah, Prime Video.
Yes, mm-hmm. Prime Video. There we go. Prime Video Philippines. So as you all know, Manila Luzon is kind of like heading the whole thing, hosting the whole thing. And then she will be joined... by
Sasa Girl.
Binibining Nicole Cordoves and Sasa Girl. They do have their kind of like their names. May isa drag, wait lang. Isa drag dealer. And then the other one. Yeah. May name sila. Wait lang. Okay. Oh man, I lost it. But anyway, see, Binibining Nicole Cordoves. Siya yung drag dealer. And then I forgot yung kay Sasa Girl. Yeah, it's really is. Yeah. And then they did unveil the contestants. So the drag names are OA, which is it's quite common that we use it in the Philippines, right?
Overacting.
Maria Cristina, Aries Knight, Barbie Q, as in Barbie, and then letter Q.
Yeah.
Shiwarma, Pura Luca Vega, Naiya. Somebody's drag name is Naiya. That's so funny. And Lady Gagita. So I don't know if they're going to unveil more drag queens, but basically this is like the teaser video for the whole thing. And it was a kind of like an issue before Drag Race Philippines started and Drag Den announced, because it was kind of like confusing for the drag fans to kind of like who's starting who, like why is Because,
is it like a spin-off, or is it like a competition?
Yeah, it was kind of like a little confusing, but at the same time, it was also confusing for Drag Race fans because Manila Luzon is a Drag Race contestant before in the US.
Yes.
And then coming here in the Philippines, people thought that, oh, maybe she's going to host or head Drag Race Philippines, but apparently not. This started and it was in the works. But still, I feel like in this setting, the more the merrier. Because now that Drag Race Philippines is done and people are still yearning for more, you know, drag content, mm-hmm. then we have Drag Den Philippines. And I feel like, you know, it's not really a competition on who's better. It's just that more content is being served to the people.
It's like cooking shows, man. How many fucking cooking shows do you know?
You can't have enough. Mm-hmm. So I'm just happy that, you know, they unveiled this whole Drag Den Philippines because it's been, you know, people have been talking about it for months. And now that we're here and we kind of know how people consume drag content now after mm-hmm. Drag Race Philippines, you know, how they consume it in the Philippines. And after that, it's kind of like set a precedent na parang, oh, you know, people are more open about it. And
you know, there's a funny story. Like, so when I was hanging out with Mart, right, he was telling me about LinkedIn and like, you can actually, I didn't know this about LinkedIn. I have a LinkedIn. I just accepted your friend request, by the way, because I just logged in a long time ago. But you can actually apply for jobs through LinkedIn. I didn't know that. Like, I thought it was just to connect with people, but they have like a jobs listing. And I was just browsing through the jobs, just wala lang. And there was one job, I forgot the title. I have to find it. But one of the requirements was, like literally requirement for hiring was fan of Drag Race PH.
Oh my gosh. That is so fun.
And I was looking because it wasn't about like Drag Race Philippines at all, like the job itself. So I don't know if it was meant as a joke or if it was meant as to show that you can bond with a team or whatever.
Hopefully it's just a joke. No, but I feel like it really is such a big market and there's a bunch of things that there's like a bunch of talent that can be discovered and not just with a drag, drag queens,
but also bar. There's like a restaurant production. That where they perform. I've seen it in some of my friends' stories. Where is that?
It's like a bakery. There's a drag brunch. Yeah. There's a drag brunch. And then it's like a small restaurant, but you can literally see the drag queen perform right in front of you. They're not on a stage. They're literally in front of you, the same floor that you're sitting on. So it's pretty, I can't remember
let us know restaurant. What that one's called?
Yeah. They do a drag brunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, I think it's Boy something.
The name of the place?
Baker Boy or something? Oh, parang ganon.
I will Google that in a bit.
Yeah.
But anyway. just to kind of, for the official details, it does premiere on December 8th via Prime Video Philippines, Drag Den Philippines. I wonder what the format's going to be like, right?
I'm sure it's going to be different because, you know, Drag Race already has kind of like a template on how they do things, how they edit, and they already have names for the little segments and all the little shows. So I'm sure it's going to be different because that's all like already tied with Drag Race already, that kind of format.
Yeah.
So hopefully, and plus, you know, you kind of want to see something different this time, right?
I agree because I feel like that's the reason why different cooking shows are what do you call it? That's why there's fans of, for example, Hell's Kitchen. They like the stress or whatever of Gordon Ramsay versus maybe something like, I don't know, like Anthony Bourdain, for example, who's more about dissecting
like a documentary
style. There's beauty in having different aspects of, I guess in this case, drag be shown. And by the way, it's called Butter Boy.
They're Butter Boy
Croissant
Boy.
Bake shop in Quezon City is reinventing,
but you know what,
with a drag show
know what, there are a lot of coffee shops right now and restaurants who are opening and they're hiring drag queens, which just makes you realize that, you know, the drag world is It's a career. It's an industry that you can actually get into and get paid professionally.
Hell yeah.
You know, it's not just a hobby. It's not just there for entertainment, but it's actually a paying career that you can get into. You know what I mean? Which kind of like empowers people who are in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Drag Den Philippines. And you guys, if you can support also Butter Boy, go ahead. It's in Quezon City.
Yeah, there we go.
And Wapow.
Wapow. All right, let's talk about Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon, you might know him. Late night show talk host, sometimes actor who's,
He was in
Band of Brothers. For
Yon, Band of Brothers.
He was in Taxi with Queen Latifah, which I actually kind of enjoyed. But anyway, Jimmy Fallon, he was trending for all the wrong reasons, but not by his, it's not his fault, by the way. The hashtag RIP Jimmy Fallon trended earlier this week on Twitter, although Jimmy Fallon is still very much alive and well.
Oh, yeah. I had to really check, like triple check everything. And I feel like this is also a lesson for everybody that it's so easy to triple check nowadays. Everything is on the internet. Okay. Don't believe what you instantly see on your Twitter timeline, especially with the environment of Twitter right now.
I believe it if it's on Wikipedia, which I know is wrong, but no, you know, when I see if someone, like, if I'm really confirming if someone died, if I go to their Wikipedia and I see the birth date and then death date on there, then for me, that's good enough for me. And it's weird because Wikipedia can be edited by anyone or whatever, but it seems like they always find the right sources to put it on there. Because you can't just edit it at will. You have to provide sources, I think, as far as I know about Wikipedia. So, for example, when Kobe Bryant died, I went on Wikipedia and then it didn't show up yet at first. And then I refreshed it. I kept refreshing. And then when it finally showed, that's when I was like, oh, fuck, it's true. Wala lang. Not the best advice, but I just thought I would say that that's how I find out people are.
You know what, though? I was listening to this one podcast over the weekend talking about, well, I was researching about my paper on freedom of expression, but they did talk about like the difference of a journalist nowadays and, you know, people who can be journalists, people on the internet, basically, right?
Yes.
And it's kind of like they were saying that the difference is, you know, journalists, they have that responsibility that they hold to the point where they kind of like triple check the information that they're about to release onto the world.
Okay.
Compared to somebody who's just on the internet, but sometimes you kind of forgo that responsibility because, you know, it's just something that you share online. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just out there. So for you, do you kind of like agree with that?
My question when it comes to fact checking sources and whatever, right? I don't know, because since you're taking a class now, especially about that involves that kind of line of work, my question is, who do you check to make sure it's true, is what I'm saying? Because if you're checking someone, I know it sounds like parang I'm being philosopher or whatever, right? But if you're checking someone to make sure that they're being real, so you check it with other people, but they have to check with other people too, like the checks and balances of it all, how do you know you're not just kind of checking the same like information from sources that are not valid? Like, what is a valid source? Like, because we've seen it time and time again, even with sources that we think are legitimate, like even if pick your favorite news, newspaper or news, whatever, news outlet, Rappler, Inquirer, Daily Star, whatever, like pick one that you think that you can trust, but they have made mistakes in the past as well.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So how do you know how to check what's real? Is it if three people say it, if four sources that you think are true say it? Like, how do you know what's good?
But I know that there is, you know, that line of thinking that you have to triangulate your information before putting it out there, before publishing, which is at the minimum three sources, three legitimate sources. But I do get what you're saying. Like, how do you know that they're legitimate? Mm. Obviously, there are ways to kind of know, obviously, if they're an expert, if they've done research, if they're in that field, you know what I mean? Like, if they were in, let's say, in the scene that that event happened.
Yeah.
There are ways to kind of like identify that these are legitimate sources. And that's the reason why you have to triangulate, because mm-hmm. you have to kind of check that these three people say the same thing.
Right.
And I feel like that's how you know that something is kind of like allowed to be published out there.
Okay.
And that's a difference. I feel like that's what they were saying in the podcast. That's a difference with people on social media, where they can just
tweet hashtag RIP post, Jimmy Fallon.
I know.
Yeah.
Tweet or post something and not kind of see the repercussions and the effect of what they're tweeting.
So do you think it's more of a labeling problem? Like people who have obviously a lot of influence on, let's say, big Twitter followers. Yeah. For example, Elon Musk, he's not a journalist. Mm. But if he tweets something, a lot of people are going to take it
as
truth. Mm-hmm. So do you think it's a labeling thing? Like, not Elon Musk in particular, but there are people who are self-proclaimed truth tellers or maybe, I don't know if they identify as journalists online. Maybe they have a blog, which I could see people identifying as like, hey, I'm a blogger, but I want to speak the truth. But then you have to question, like, is it what truth is this, et cetera?
You know what? We are really hitting two birds with one stone, because I am about to write my paper after this conversation. Hell yeah, man. But anyway, I feel like, I know, right? No, but I feel like it's really up to the person consuming that information to also check.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
But then again, if you are consuming, let's say, a news from a news website, or like a tweet from a news agency, mm-hmm. you're supposed to kind of like trust them that what they're posting is the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it really is. I know. It really is kind of like a blurry situation right now, especially with social media. Yeah.
There was a funny exchange, by the way, about this whole Twitter thing. With Jimmy Fallon actually ask Elon Musk, like, can you fix this? Hashtag RIP Jimmy Fallon. You know what he said? Elon Musk, he said,
fix what?
What a douche.
Oh, also, I feel like it was also like a content gold mine for the show after that trended, because they did a lot of stuff on the Jimmy Fallon show, like Tonight Show.
It. Yeah.
Involving it. It's like,
the first time that it's happened. It happened around that he had a death, like a death hoax, which I've seen so many times. Like Jackie Chan, I remember seeing like Jackie Chan has died like 5 times since high school.
Yeah.
I don't know why they pick on certain celebrities.
Well, I know,
right? I mean, it's a crushing loss for. I mean, ang hirap, Jackie Chan, but, yeah. You know.
Wala ang hirap tuloy, like, what if, you know, like, hopefully it doesn't happen, but what if it does, and it's like, people don't believe it. It's like, diba? People don't believe it anymore.
Yeah, there's been, I mean, I think one of the reasons why this is kind of taken headlines as well, the RIP Jimmy Fallon thing, is that there's been a lot of disinformation. I mean, there's always been disinformation on social media.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of, like, chaos happening on Twitter because of, well, all of the new changes. And remember last week we talked about the paid verification. It so happened that maybe like a day after we recorded that, Twitter suspended that for the time being because people were impersonating other people.
Yeah.
And it was just causing so much confusion and a ruckus.
And not just other people, like accounts of, let's say, Apple Music. Mm-hmm. People can do that with
businesses. You know,
Spotify, businesses, Google, or whatever. And if they have a blue check, diba, you can literally say whatever you want.
For real. And even if it says parody, like the rule is, right, that you have to write parody in your header and in your name now, apparently.
I mean,
it's still very confusing.
I know. As if we don't have enough information already to process on the internet.
Yeah.
That was dadagdag pa to na parang, you have to double check accounts now? I thought it's supposed to be easier if you have a blue check mark for us to believe what they're tweeting. And now we have to double check.
Yeah. So go watch Jimmy Fallon's monologue. I think he addressed it pretty well after the incident.
But I think that's the only way to kind of like address the whole situation, make light of it, you know, like, I guess for them, it's also kind of like a good move because more people will be tuning in the show. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
I mean, they turned what could have been like bad. It wasn't even bad publicity, but they were able to turn that publicity into like better publicity in a sense.
I wonder if like more people, if their viewership kind of like grew over the weekend or something.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I'm sure people were curious to hear what his thoughts were on it. I mean, that's a pretty crazy, because he, in his monologue, he said that he was just out at dinner with his wife when he heard about it. Imagine, like, what? Imagine seeing that trending, RIP, and then your name. What the hell? At first, I bet he was so scared. Like, I bet he thought he was canceled or something, right? That was where my mind would go if it was like, if I wasn't dead, but I saw RIP and then my name. I'd be like, fuck, what happened, bro?
You know what? I do want to be in Jimmy Fallon's shoes at one point in his life when he was in a prank war with Rihanna. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Was it him?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it was him.
Pumasok si Rihanna sa bahay niya while they were sleeping and like actually, you know what? I want to be in the shoes of Jimmy Fallon's wife. Okay? Kasi yung nakipagkunchaba siya with Rihanna and the wife and like they kind of like played loud music in the middle of the night while he was sleeping.
It was him, right? It was Jimmy.
Yeah, I think it was
him. Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. It might have been Jimmy Kimmel, but I know the prank war that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, there was a prank war with where, and then they even, I think there was a similar one with, was it Dua Lipa or something? I think Dua Lipa.
Oh, no, it's Jimmy Kimmel.
It was Jimmy Kimmel. Okay. Yes, but I remember there, I think they had like Dua Lipa too on a, something like that. But anyway. Oh,
also, Seth Meyers had that drinking game. Was it Seth Meyers or was it Jimmy Fallon?
I don't know. Do you have a favorite? Mine's Conan, right? Conan's my favorite.
Like, oh, really? Yeah, I like Conan. Seth Meyers. I think he's
pretty cool.
Yeah, he's smart. And I feel like he's smooth when it comes to his jokes and stuff.
Seth Meyers, It was Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. Rihanna pranks Jimmy Kimmel, which was a good video. Fun video.
It was. I would love to be there. But anyway.
Any more thoughts on RIP? Wapow. Okay, let's go with our last TT for today. This one, a nice little uplifting story coming from a basketball player named Isaac Humphries. So he's not, like we mentioned at the start of the mix, he's not a super well-known guy. He's not an all-star in the NBA or whatever, but he's a professional basketball player for a team called Melbourne United in Australia. And on Tuesday earlier this week, he came out publicly as gay on Twitter, where he posted on his social media a video where he opened up to his teammates about his struggles about coming out, his mental health during that time. And he also actually, trigger warning, had he shared about his past suicide attempt because he was living what he thought was like a lie. He couldn't be himself, especially in, he even said it, in this world that he's living in, you know, in terms of a basketball environment. And there's so much, I mean, if you think about basketball, there's a lot that it has a lot to do with when it comes to
hyper masculinity.
I mean, we talked about John Amores last week, right? All the punching and whatever, like those are the things that are sometimes usually associated with basketball. Although of course there's women basketball players and there's women's leagues. When you go to a basketball court, you see guys talking trash and, you know, it's like a, very hyper masculine environment. And he said that he thought that he could not be that person within that environment. And it was kind of inside, it was slowly decaying him from the inside in a sense. So if you want to check out the video, it's Isaac Humphries 7. I don't know if I retweeted it, but I know I liked it. So if you can go check it on my likes on Twitter, but it was it just makes you think that, first of all, that's a really brave thing to do because A, he might get, you know, for fear of he might get bashed or he might be afraid his teammates might not accept him, et cetera, et cetera. How would you feel about that, right?
I don't know, because I feel like at this point, if somebody decides to come out in their own terms, of course, it should be celebrated. I feel like there should be some sort of celebration when it comes to that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I feel like I want it to be normal nowadays. When somebody wants to come out, they've come out and they've told the truth. And then now they can just live their life normally.
Yeah. It's actually,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a good point. Like they can continue. But do you think that if you were the person coming out, for example, would you be afraid that people would treat you differently afterwards? I feel like that's a valid concern, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Right. Even in the locker room, for example, or in the showers, mm-hmm. I could imagine guys who are, you know, straight, maybe they would act differently, even if they don't mean to. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like they don't mean to come off as being different or weird, but knowing someone is like who you thought was straight is now gay and you're on the same team, you might start acting differently because you want to, I don't know, make them feel comfortable. But do you want that to change the way that your teammates acted towards you before you came out?
But I feel like even if you don't want, you know, it to change, like a situation, it is a big change for some people. You know, I mean, like, I didn't really officially, let's say, I didn't really officially come out that I'm bisexual or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's like, if you do and you kind of put yourself in that situation, I feel like on some level, there will be some sort of change. But yeah, I don't really have thoughts on that. But I was kind of thinking maybe there is a reason why people, especially when you're in the limelight like that, you're in a hyper masculine industry, mm-hmm. let's say, that I think a lot of people kind of like choose not to officially come out, just because they don't want to be in a like box out. Like, you don't want to be put in a box where, let's say, instead of calling them just a basketball player, it's always
the gay basketball player.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say, by the way, like, you know, like,
it's not bad.
Gay men can be masculine, right? Like, so it's not bad. It's just that I get what you're talking about in terms of the perception of a basketball, the common perception, and how if you kind of break away from that, people will be like, oh, they're that basketball player that has something else attached to them. You know what I mean? It's not, they're just a basketball player. And I could see that being a big hindrance, because I'm sure, like, there's got to be, right? Because there's got to be more gay men basketball players out there who are just not coming out of the closet or coming out, right? And I think what do you think would would bring more acceptance or make that happen more often? What do you think would be a catalyst for that?
I think in general, really. Like, it's not just in the basketball world that we should be talking about right? Because I feel like if there's more stigma in an aspect of people's, like, if there's more stigma in this, you know, one thing, like, the only way to combat is to talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just with the basketball world. But I do know that, I mean, like, I feel like if let's say, they're backed up by their team, their management, their teammates. You know, it's a whole, you know, it's a team thing. I feel like it would be easier to talk about it. You know what I mean?
The video is really touching at the end, because you see his teammates, you know, hugging him and supporting him. So go watch the video. But just to, like, for official, like, story, he's now the second men's basketball player to come out as gay while actively playing in a top league around the world. And I remember this.
Legend.
I remember this because the first guy who did it, he was on a team that I followed, the New Jersey Nets at the time.
Right.
We're now the Brooklyn Nets. His name was Jason Collins. He played center and he came out towards the end of his career, which was, I think, 2012 or 2013. So I remember that story. And I'm surprised that it's been 7, 8, 9 years since another big story has come out. So it's not that common. So hopefully this will give, like, his video, Isaac Humphreys' video, will let people be more accepting and maybe encourage and help others who struggled with the same things that he did.
Obviously,
have to come forward for that.
Yeah. And obviously this will have, like, a more positive effect on people. Cause, you know, like, if you see more people in the entertainment industry, in different industries, who are, let's say, in the LGBTQ plus LGBTQIA plus community, you know, you will realize that, yeah, okay, you are gay, but you can also be, you know, an engineer. You can be everything that you want to be. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can be in the basketball player. Yeah.
So any more thoughts on Isaac Humphries and his video online?
That's it, man.
All right. Shall we wapow?
Wapow. Okay. Right. So we have a random Reddit and we did ask the question at the first part. So what's a reason you stop being someone's friend? And this is on r/ask Reddit posted 6 hours ago. Mm-hmm. We found a few interesting answers, short ones. Okay. This one is actually pretty relatable. And I do know a lot of people who kind of like do this too. So CT guy says distance, no issues with them, no hard feelings. They just moved away and lost touch and hope they're well. And I feel like that's valid.
Dude, that's hits home for me because when I was in the States last month, right? I touched base with a lot of my friends from work that I was hanging out. You know, when I was 20, 21, 22. Mm-hmm. I was hanging out with all these similar age guys and girls, right, as me. And it's been 7 years since I came back. And now some of them are getting married. Some of them have kids. And some of them like are just off, like working all the time. Like back in the day when I was that age, there was always someone to hang out with back then. And there's always someone who had a day off. Or there's someone who was, you know, after school, like there's more tech. Because school, you know, you don't go to school for 8 hours a day, right? Unlike work. So there was always someone to kick it with back then. And I felt like really sad that time of my life is over, but that time of like their lives is different now. And it's not the same anymore. It felt like we're still friends, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that connection of like you'll never go back to that feeling.
Yeah, and I feel like it's also easier to understand. It's sad, but I feel like it's also easier to understand between two people that if our friendship does end, it's because of the distance and nothing else. Like you didn't do anything wrong. I don't have to wonder if I did something wrong. It's just because of the distance. And some people are just more kind of physical when it comes to their relationships, not just, you know, romantic relationships, but friendships.
Yeah.
So I am kind of like that. Like I do get more close with people who are in the same vicinity as me. Mm-hmm. So like for some people, it's just easier. And there are a lot of people out there who like to have friends online. So it's just different.
Okay. Here we have another one. This one from Competitive Depth 96. Actually, they gave a lot, but here's a couple. So I had a friend who always tried to one-up me and trash talk any of my accomplishments. That friendship didn't last long. Familiar with, I'm sure, Filipinos too, the crab mentality / one-upsmanship that is very common here. Have you ever had a friend like that who tried to just be like
I don't remember because maybe they weren't in my life for that long. You know what, feeling ko, ako, I can recognize people who are trying to one-up me right away to the point that I don't even put in the effort of being their friend. Like, nare-recognize ko na kaagad na, okay, this person will be kind of like a competition to me and I don't want that stress in my life. So I'm just not going to be friends with them anymore. Mm-hmm. But because I feel like there are some friendships that if there is a healthy competition would work, but I think it depends on you. Because ikaw ba, are you a competitive person? I feel like you are a little bit, because I'm not at all.
I don't really. Sometimes I feel I can't help but compare my like accomplishments with people who I look up to, but more of like inspiration rather than jealousy, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, like there's like goals that I want to accomplish, and I'm like, damn, I wish I could be like this person or achieve the success that this person has had. But I look at that as more of, but how did they get there? And I kind of want to emulate that.
Yeah.
But I don't have any, like, I don't know, like if they were my friends, would it be a different dynamic? I don't know.
I feel like I've worked with people who are trying to compete with me, but I wasn't trying to compete with them. And it was hard for me to kind of like work around them because I'm just doing me. And I feel like they're thinking na, oh, magaling ka na naman. But in reality, what I was just doing is I was just trying to work, man. But in their eyes, it's like, ano, nagmamagaling ka na naman, ikaw na naman yung magaling. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, but it is different if you're just workmates compared to if you guys are like quote unquote friends, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want, anyway. The thing that I've had, that I never had is like lifelong friends. Does that make sense? Like, you met him when you were like six. And then now you're 30 and you're still friends. I don't have any of those. Like, I made friends in elementary school, but then I didn't keep in touch after that.
But it stayed there.
Yeah. And I have friends in high school I'm still close with some of my high school friends, but I don't talk to them all the time. And we only see each other every few years. I don't have that friend that you is there every year you see each other. You know what I mean?
Yung tipong kilala ng mom mo, yung mga tipong, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't have that. I have cousins. Same. I have cousins that I am really close with that I feel it. But in terms of non-blood related, I haven't had that. And I always wonder what that would feel like.
Yeah.
And could anything break that bond? That would be so crazy.
That would be so cool too, to be like in your 40s and your 50s and you still have that kind of like friendship that you can fall back to. But then again, it's not impossible to have that, you know, in your adult life. It's just that, you know what I realized? It's really hard to make friends as an adult.
Oh yeah.
It really is. It is. It's like I would want to be your friend. It's just that there are a lot of things that I am accustomed to that I want to do by myself.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than be with like a group, especially a group of friends. Like, I'm good with a one-on-one kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But when it's a group, I'm like, I tend to just like step back a little bit. Yeah.
But that's kind of ironic because you've made a lot of friends through different communities though, right?
I do. Yeah. Actually, you know, that's the thing with me, with my friendships. I kind of thrive more when I have like a one-on-one friendship in different aspects of my life. So I have one friend, like I have one close friend back in high school. Mm-hmm. I have maybe a couple of close friends in college. And then I have a couple at work. And then there. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's not like a big barcada kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like different aspects of my life. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, there would be times that I would need to invite all of them and they don't know each other. But since they're also friendly, they end up being friends with each other. Right.
Yeah.
So anyway,
a couple more maybe from here.
Yeah. This one is kind of specific, but what do you think about this? Okay. Madisonville 449 says, I got her a job at my company and then she didn't show up on day one.
Dog.
Because I get it. It's like,
you vouched
for
them.
It's on you. Yeah, dude. Oh, it's man. On you.
I feel that.
Secondhand shame.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's happened in the past to me where I recommended something for somebody.
Oh my gosh.
And it come through.
No. I did that. Remember?
Oh, the voice. No. Guys, no, but it's because you didn't have Skype, though. That's why.
Yeah.
That wasn't your fault.
I know. I was saying.
Who uses Skype, bro? Who uses Skype?
Thank you for being so understanding, my friend.
So what happened was, like, I asked Rika, like, do you want to do this gig, right? This sideline. And she said, yeah.
Yeah.
And I sent it. And then, like, they communicate via Skype. Because they're 70 years old, right? So, you know, Rika but still, missed I could the have, thingy.
Yeah,
message.
I could have put in more effort, I guess, though.
But so, yeah, but Skype,
I'm
bro.
So sorry.
Come on.
I know.
No. I'm trying to think. There's another scenario in the past where I vouched for someone and it was like they didn't like step up. I forgot what it was, though. It was in the States still.
But that's the thing. It's like secondhand. Like, it's not your fault that they didn't show up, but obviously they would have to put the blame on somebody and it's going to be you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Truth.
Yeah.
Truth.
And then you have one last.
Yeah, one more from Quiet Dapper. Okay. This one's perfect because we don't like babies, right? she was nice, but her kids were truly awful. Completely out of control rats. They were mean and dangerous. When playing with my kids, and my poor kids always got hurt. I broke it off for my kids. So it wasn't really the friend. Kids. Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't really because of the friend. It was the friend's kids. Has anyone ever been, would you consider being not a friend with someone because you didn't like their kids? Hell yeah.
Well, yeah. Or it's more like I would be less inclined into hanging out with them because, you know, they have annoying kids.
Dude, there are some kids out there. I have met some night. I was like, fuck, these are spawn of Satan kids.
Yeah.
Like they are so, I don't remember where. I just remember in my life, I've run into like kids that are just so awful.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were my friends' kids, I'd be like, fuck, I don't want to hang out with you anymore.
I feel like I have an age range where I would love to hang out with kids, like toddlers, you know, like somewhere where they can talk a little bit, but not too much. And then once they hit this age, I stop hanging out with them until the point that they can legally drink. And drink with them. That's a big step. You know what I mean?
I was thinking, you know, like what I 14 mean? Up is good. Anything below 14, their brains dude. I feel like I can't hold a stimulating conversation.
No, the thing is, you can hold a stimulating conversation with a 14-year-old. It's just that they don't want to talk to you, and you can see it in their faces. And I'm like, if you don't want to talk to me, then bitch, get the hell out of my way. True. Okay. If you think I'm so uncool, then go ahead. Dude, okay. I don't want to talk to you either.
I kind of like that aspect because 100%, unless they are a savant, I know 100% I am dominant intellectually. You know? Right. I always know.
Can't believe we're like beefing with imaginary kids right now.
If I'm talking to some 14-year-olds, I 100% know I'm smarter than
them. Oh yeah.
Like way that they are smarter than me. And I have more life experience. And if it were push come to shove, I would be physically more dominant if I had to fight them, right? For whatever reason.
Just imaginary kids that we want to fight.
My cousin, this is off base, but my cousin sent me this thing, right? This TikTok. It's a little fucked up. And the question was, would you rather fight 10 100-year-olds or 110-year-olds? For like,
wait,
oh, it was
10 100 year.
If we're like
10 100 year olds,
10 100 year olds, or 110 year olds for like $1 million, and there's no legal repercussions. It was easier to
10 100.
Yeah, it's easier to take down 10 100 year olds. Yeah. The TikTok video guy said that even though it's easier, he would love to beat up on 110-year-olds, like, because you could throw them around and like, dude, if there's no legal repercussions, I would pick the 110-year-olds, 100%.
Yeah. No. Yes, for you?
Hell yeah.
Dude, of that pleasure of punching a 10-year-old?
Hell yeah. Yeah. Not that I want to do it. I'm just saying, if there's no legal ramifications, the pleasure that you would take from, dude, come on. You never wanted to throw a kid like against the wall?
Not really, but if the stakes are like $1 million
and no legal repercussions. That's the important part.
Because I feel like I can take down 10 100-year-olds without kind of like a major disaster going on. I can just like push them to the ground and they would be super slow to get up, right? And now I can get my $1 million instead of like putting in all of that effort to punch 110-year-olds. I don't think so.
Yeah, but it would be like wrestling, you know, like you're wrestling. You know what I mean? Like
they would be super fast.
You're the Rock or you're, you know, Triple H or Stone Cold, and you're just going to town on these. Like they literally cannot beat you.
I am tired already.
Right? Anyway, that was a little off topic. Whatever.
I know. Okay, here we go again. But we go. That's the podcast.
That is. Thank you for listening. Anything to plug? Oh, we still have until the end of the month. If you want to check out our Sun Talks on Demand, go listen to those mixes. Of course, brought to you by Sun Life Philippines. There is a chance for you to win I don't know. I'm speaking with that accent. 50,000 pesos worth of gift certificate. If you click on the link and vote for us as podcaster of the year.
Yes.
And Rica did share her diabetes insights earlier. So if you want to check out our Tres Leches with Dr. Eric Mendoza and find out the importance of controlling your diabetes, we have that mix out as well. Anything you want to plug, Rica?
Go check out 1C Coffee in Capitolio, and that's it.
That's it. Follow us online, The Halala Show, everywhere except for Instagram, where it's just Halala Show. You can email us at thehalalashow@gmail.com.
Oh, also join our Leche Fam Facebook group. So you guys can just search for The Halala Show at Leche Fam on Facebook. It's a private group, so you have to request and then answer just a few questions, which are
what
holy
questions?
Shit, but
would
I
you
know
eat,
secret
would you eat skin chicharron?
No. Right? Come on, I need to pee. Okay.
That's your song.
I totally forgot. Wait, la, wait. Do 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 do.
I love the show.
Bye.
Later.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.